Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
It is. Getting closer and closer to Good Friday and Easter.
It is.
To the crucifixion and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Passover coming up.
Yeah.
Oof. It's an exciting time of year.
It is.
And a very sobering time of year. You know, it's, I always tell everyone, and I'm sure you do as well in probably a different way, but I always say, you know, if you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, you don't get what happened there.
Yeah.
And this is a time we should really be thinking about what happened there, and we should really keep our mouths closed and our pride and arrogance to ourselves.
Yeah, that's true.
But fortunately, and happily and blessedly, we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses.
Yes, we do.
Otherwise, we'd be in even worse trouble.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, no, Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses because he was tested in every way, but he did not fall to sin.
Yes. Imagine Satan presenting all that stuff to one of us. You can have all this stuff. All you have to do is worship me. You say, well, I'm not going to worship you, but wait a minute. Let me think this over a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Give me all that stuff.
As soon as you start thinking, he's got you.
That's right. That's right. And so last week we talked about, I guess we're doing a desert series.
Yeah.
This will be the last one, though, because
Palm Sunday next week.
Yikes. Yeah. But last week we talked about wandering in the desert, the people in the desert, and us wandering in our own desert.
So we need to get to your notes.
Yes,
at Exodus.
Notes. But we ended up with I think you saying that, you know, people, all of us, we want to make our own plans. And we want to control things ourselves.
Right.
We want to control our lives. We want to control our spirituality. We want to control what we think about God and make him in our image rather than he making us in his image.
Yeah.
We want those things to be easier to deal with. You know, we want to be on the throne. You know, once he can come and sort of, you know, stand next to us once in a while, but we want to be on the throne.
And if you think about human nature, just basic human nature, you know, as a little child, if they're not getting something from mom, do they ask dad?
Yeah.
You know, or if they're not getting something from dad, do they go and ask mom?
Yeah.
Ask mom, she'll give it to us. No, ask dad, he'll give it to us.
Yeah.
And we do the same thing with God.
Sure.
When we ask for something, we go, well, I didn't get an answer. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Yes.
Very dangerous spiritually.
Yes. And we want to shape the plan ourselves.
Yes.
So when the people were in the wilderness, it's like, well, wait a minute. What are we doing out here? Moses, did you bring us out here to die? Let's pick a new leader and go back to Egypt. This can't be the plan.
Yeah.
Or, hey, who says God only talks to you, Moses? Maybe he talks to some of us too. Mm. Or, hey, you know, how come you think that? How come you're the only one who has an opinion? We're allowed to have an opinion. You know, there's all these rebellions going on because they wanted to shape their own plan. This can't be the plan. What are we doing out here?
Yeah.
What are we eating this stuff for? I'm getting sick of this manna.
If you think about it, when you give someone freedom who hasn't had freedom for a long time, do they really know what to do with it?
Mm.
Because they're so used to being in their situation. It's a whole different reality at that point. And I don't think people really think of it in that, from that perspective. And, you know, when we encounter God and the Holy Spirit starts to enlighten us to or convict us of certain patterns of sin in our life and habits that we have that aren't leading us to God or closer to our, you know, closer to Christ, we're confronted with giving those things up and asking God for forgiveness.
Mm.
And, you know, if we walk through that with courage and ask God for help, he's going to get us through those periods of time spiritually that we need to persevere through to advance through in the spiritual disciplines and become more mature.
Yes.
And better equipped.
Yeah. It's reminding me, I think a few weeks ago we talked about this, when somebody comes to your house for a visit or a Bible study or a home group or somebody comes over for coffee or something, you say, oh, just make yourself at home. But you don't really mean that.
Right.
You mean stay in this room and make yourself comfortable.
Right.
So if the guy says, I'm going to go see what you have in the refrigerator, or I think I'm going to go cook up some of those eggs, or I'd like to go upstairs and take a look at that closet that's in the other bedroom over there. You would say, oh, I'm at. I don't know what you're doing that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we say, well, we've asked Jesus into our heart, but, you know, most of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still some of the stuff I don't want him, like, tampering around with, because after all, this is my stuff.
Exactly.
This is my privacy. This is my life here.
Yeah.
I mean, he can have, you know, but this 10 or 15 or 20%, this is my stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to make my own plan that has to do with those.
Yeah. If sometimes it's almost like, you know, everybody has a house, and let's just say your house has 10 rooms. Everybody's house has 10 rooms. We keep a couple of those rooms nice and tidy and you know, Lord, look in here. This is a really nice room. Look at how nice and neat this is.
Yeah.
And the Lord's going, but I want to go into that back room.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you don't want, no, it's a mess. You don't want to see that.
That's where I threw all the junk.
Yeah. And that's the one he wants to get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the old bumper sticker, you know, that says, God is my co-pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if God is your co-pilot, you need to change seats.
Exactly.
and whenever I used to see that sticker after I was a believer, I felt like pulling over and going, you need to change seats.
Yeah. You need to be the co-pilot.
But I should talk because we're all, well, I'll drive the car. Lord, you can sit there and, you know, we'll talk, but I'm going to be the one driving the car.
That's true.
Because after all, this is my car. I know how to drive it. You never drove this car before. So I'm going to take care of this car. And, you know, we feel that we have, you know, the driver's seat of a car is probably a good example.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're sitting behind the wheel, you're in control of it.
True.
You're the authority of that machine.
Mm-hmm.
You can go faster. You can go slower. You can put the brakes on. You can shift into another gear. You can turn the radio on. And you say, yeah, well, I know, Lord, you're sitting here next to me, and I don't mind talking to you while I'm driving, but I'm in control of this machine right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is how most people live, and we live to a big extent too, because pride is at the center of this. We want to be in control of what's going on. And as you pointed out, I think last week, we're walking around in the wilderness of the world because we're on a pilgrimage walk.
Right.
And how many times have we said, you know, the Christian walk, the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. It's not 9.9 seconds and it's over.
True.
It's a long journey and there's a lot of distractions on the way.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're walking on a beautiful sunny day where it's 70 degrees and the land is flat and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're walking through mud puddles and freezing rain and snow blowing in your face and it isn't much fun.
Right.
And there's all kind of things in That's between.
True.
You may fall into a mud puddle and get sickeningly dirty,
but
you can get up and keep moving.
Right.
And we're in this wilderness, but we still want to make the plan as we go along. We don't really want God to control our lives. We want him involved, but only as kind of a partner, silent partner.
Yeah, that's a good way of a very silent partner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people in the wilderness did it too, as we talked about with the golden calf. And, you know, you know, like going back to, you know, thinking about the cross 20 times a day, you can still do that. You do that and you study the scriptures and you have your prayer life and you do your things at the church and you do your thing. But there's still a part of you that says, I'm in control of this.
Mm-hmm.
And as the people went through the wilderness, they were, you know, the old saying is it took 40 years. It didn't take long to get the people out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the people. You know, we get things from the world
that
we have to be rid of.
Right.
And it's not always easy.
Right. I would say that, like, when I first came back to the Lord, was I made a new creation? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did I still have all my old habits? Yes. Did the Lord have to work through all those old habits? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes some of the things are taken away and some of the things are left there because I really believe that it's there for us to confront and face and choose.
Mm-hmm.
Who do I love more?
Mm-hmm.
Do I love the Lord more? Do I love Jesus more? Or do I love the sin habit?
Mm.
And it's a real stark contrast between the Lord taking something away and me not having to deal with it versus me making a decision from my own heart. I don't want that anymore. And I want what Jesus has for me.
Yes.
I want the inheritance that he died for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, compared to the Israelites in the wilderness, I mean, they had been delivered. They were heading toward the promised land. They had the manna. They saw the Shekinah glory. They heard the things that Moses had to say. And they knew that this was a covenant they were making with God. And mm-hmm. they still rebelled. We have so much more than that.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have salvation
mm-hmm.
through Jesus and what he did on the cross. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have 2,000 years of Christian history and tradition and experience. We can see the whole scope of salvation that those people in the wilderness couldn't see.
True.
I mean, they had just an inkling of what was going on compared to what we have.
Right.
But we still rebel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look back, like we look back, say, at the wanderings in the wilderness, like, you know, when we do the Torah class, and mm-hmm. it's natural to sit back and say, oh, you know, those people, why didn't they get it? Why were they sick of the manna?
That always happens as if we never do that.
That's like, right.
Like, gosh, can't they see that? How ungrateful. My goodness.
Yes. Yeah. It's easy to criticize people in the scripture.
Yeah.
But we do the same thing. Like last night at one of my Bible study groups, I was talking about how Paul didn't like Mark and they had this, you know, controversy about.
When did that happen?
Yeah. About, you know, Paul says, well, you know, we're not taking Mark. And Barnabas says, oh, well, you know, yeah, you know, we should take him because he was also his cousin. But he's like, mm-hmm. well, if you like Mark so much, you take him on your group, you know, and people are horrified. You know, how could two saints not like each other? Well, because they're both human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I used the example. Imagine if four or five of us went on a mission trip together and we had to spend weeks together.
Yeah.
I mean, how long would it take before you started arguing and bickering and conflicts came up? And when they went on a mission trip, they were walking, they were sleeping by the fire, they were eating in some place.
Yeah.
You know, we take a plane somewhere and stay in a hotel for a week and, you know, they were like, they got on each other's nerves.
They were traveling with each other for a long time and it took a lot, as you're saying, it took a lot longer to travel and to be with it. You had to be with that person for a longer period of time than if we're traveling now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when somebody says, well, how could Paul be upset about Mark? Well, pretty easy when you think about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people, you don't have to be with somebody that long before they might say or do something that you go,
oh, yeah.
It wouldn't take long. Why are they doing that?
A few hours.
Yeah.
But we look back, and Jesus mentions this in Matthew 23, one of my favorite chapters. You know, he says to the religious leaders, you guys decorate the graves of the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, oh, if we had been there, we wouldn't have killed them. And he says, you would have.
Right.
So would we have.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we think, oh gosh, well, you know, we wouldn't do that. And I mean, I've even asked people at times, like, so if John the Baptist was here, how would you receive his message?
Yeah.
And they've never thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you brood of vipers, who warned you of the coming wrath?
Mm-hmm.
Would I receive that warmly and go, oh, thank you for telling me to convert and to, you know, turn away from my sins?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
Yeah, with someone that would you invite him to come and talk at your church?
Today we have John. We have John. He's in the wilderness. He's going to talk to us about salvation and turning away from sin.
And imagine him coming into one of those big churches run by the prosperity preachers or the name it and claim it group. And in comes this guy dressed like Elijah.
You know, really, coming into any church, any modern day church.
Yeah. So who's this guy?
I don't think they would let him preach.
No.
And I think that says a lot about the state of where we're at.
Yes.
In our world.
Yeah. We know better than you.
Yeah.
Plus look at you, you're a mess.
How could you know anything about God?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I always use the example of, I won't mention any names, but I went to a particular church for the first time and I was looking around and I was trying to figure out who the pastor was. And usually when you go to a church, you can kind of tell who's the leadership.
Right.
And in this church, everybody looked the same. And then this goofy looking guy got up on the platform and he had on a pair of jeans and and some sandals and a flannel shirt. And he started doing some announcements and I said, oh, guy's doing the announcements. And then he says, okay, now last week I left off and I said, oh no, this guy's the pastor. I can't believe this. This guy's going to do. And about 48 seconds later, I was looking for paper to write down what he was saying because the guy was blowing me away. And then the Holy Spirit teaches you lessons like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who do you think you are? Just because this guy's dressed like this, he can't preach the word.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting here wearing a coat and a tie and you're saying, well, what can he possibly know?
Yeah.
You know,
that's very true. Very true. Because God always, you know, if you look at it in scripture, God uses the weak to confront the strong, those who are lowly to confront the proud or those in lofty places.
Yes.
And that's because that's how God deals with the pride of Satan.
Yes. Exactly. Good point. I don't know how many people in the audience, and I don't know if you ever heard of a guy named Lonnie Frisbee, who was one of these like crazy hippies that came out of was in the Jesus movement. And he used to he had the long hair and the beard and he always looked like a hippie, but he came to faith. He was spirit filled and he was, you know, evangelizing and doing street preaching and stuff.
Right.
And so he came to this church that met in a high school gym on a Sunday. And, the pastor of the church was John Wimber, who founded the Vineyard movement. And John Wimber looked at this guy, didn't know who he was. And the Lord said to him, I want him to preach today. And he said, Lord, that guy? and he felt the Lord saying, yes, I want him to come up here and preach today. So he obeyed and he went to the guy and said, I'm getting a word. The Lord wants you to come up and preach today. So the guy says, okay. So he gets up on the platform and he puts his hands up in the air and he says, come Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit falls on this place and people start praying in tongues and singing and praising and chairs are falling over. People are falling over. And John Wimber's standing there going, who?
Wow.
But you never know what's going to happen. And John, that's a great example. John the Baptist coming into almost any church you could name.
Yeah.
And people would probably usher him out the door.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's walking in a desert is tough because it's hot and it's uncomfortable.
Right.
And you get thirsty.
Right.
And sure, you can pray a lot and, you know, you can take out your Bible and read some scriptures and you can sing. I can't sing, but I can sing to myself.
You're going to get hungry.
You could actually sing and you get hungry. But there's also the, what am I doing out here? This isn't working out real well. This isn't like I thought it was going to be.
Right.
I thought this was going to be easy. I thought God loved me and that's why he brought me here. But it isn't any fun.
And then you're at the same place that the Israelites were at.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I thought we were coming out here and look, we're going to die.
Yeah.
I'm just going back.
I'm going back. We had all those nice restaurants and stores in Egypt.
Yeah. We might have had to make bricks with no straw, but, you know, hey, it's much better than dying out here.
Yeah. And we like I said, we're in a position where we have the fullness of faith, the fullness of the plan of salvation, the fullness of the scripture. They had nothing.
Yeah.
And they rebelled. Okay, well, we have all this and we still rebel.
Mm-hmm.
We still say, well, that's not enough. And I made reference to a chapter in Jeremiah. Then I realize this is in chapter 2 in verse 4. God says through Jeremiah, "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? You know, what more could I have done for you people?" You know, and we, in our time, you know, with this fullness of the salvation, the fullness of the plan, the fullness of the faith that we have, you know, we see Jesus on the cross, and he could say to us, what more could I have done for you? What else would you like me to do that you reject me and you turn from me and you make a mockery of me and you say, hey, I got my own plan, or hey, I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, Jesus being up on the cross is the ultimate sacrifice that he could ever do for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is nothing more that he can do, because that gives us salvation.
Right.
So
you're going to take a miserable sinner like us, like we are, and say, I did this for you and I'm going to give you the free gift of salvation. And you say, eh, well, okay, that's nice. Thanks a lot. But you know what? I think you're wrong about this. Or, you know what? I think you're wrong about that.
Right.
And, you know, we've come a long way now. So, you know, we have some input into what's moral, what's not moral, what's right and what's not right. You know, we have some input into that. So, you know, thanks a lot for all that, but I'll take it from here.
Well, there's a tendency, you know, as you're saying that, sometimes there's a tendency to think that if somebody is a believer in Jesus Christ, that they don't have any thoughts that would lead them to sin, or they don't rebel against things. Just because someone has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior doesn't mean that they are without stain or blemish.
Sure.
And that includes all of us.
Sure, absolutely.
Because we can all follow our own path at a moment's notice.
It's just going to involve pruning at some point.
No. Pride first, but then pruning.
Oh, yeah.
Because when Jesus is tempted in the desert by Satan, at the end of this temptation, it says the devil left him for a time.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say the devil left him forever.
Mm-hmm.
And if we think that the devil is going to just tempt us once and then leave us, and then the rest of our lives we're spot free, we're badly mistaken.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So
he just waits for another opportunity.
He just waits for another opportunity, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And they will come.
Mm-hmm.
And he will take the most advantage of those opportunities to try and trip us up and to get us to stumble and to fall and to not want to get back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the great things about, you know, as you reflect upon the stations of the cross, when Jesus on the way of the cross, when he fell, he got back up and he continued on the path. He fell three times. He got back up. That's an example for every Christian. You know, we're going to get hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us harder than others. And we're going to fall. But the Lord says, get back up. Get back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not asking you to make a mad dash down to the finish line. He's just asking you to walk.
Just walk. He says, I got the plan for you. And this is what I want you to do. You just have to walk along the course.
Right.
And when you fall down, you got to get up and get back on the course.
Mm-hmm.
And the falling down is guaranteed.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's going to say, hey, well, okay, I'm 40 years old now and I'm going to live to be 80. So I'm sure between now and the time I'm 80, I'm never going to fall. Is this music already?
Yes, that is.
Oh, I still got more stuff. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that as you walk with the Lord, on your walk with the Lord, that if you fall, that you would seek his help and ask him for the grace to get back up and to finish that walk, that you may reign with him in heaven with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Peace.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.